Reminders today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn things over to one of your first presenters today, Melissa Friedland, who's joining you from the EPA's Office of Superfund Remediation and Technology Innovation, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Jean. My name is Melissa Friedland, and I'm the Superfund Super JTI Program Manager for EPA Regions 1 through 5. And actually, if you look at the picture on the screen, that's me on the right speaking at graduation in the photo. Viola?
Hi. My name is Viola Cooper, and I'm the Super JTI Program Manager for Regions 6 through 10, and I'm in on the right of the photo on the left with the blue sweater, posing with our community partner at graduation on Navajo Nation. So hopefully after the webinar today, you'll have a better understanding of the Superfund Job Training Initiative and what it could mean for your sites.
Great, thanks. So this presentation is going to take us through what the requirements are for the development of a Super JTI project, as well as how a project is implemented from start to finish. So what is it? Okay. So what is the Superfund Job Training Initiative? We call it Super JTI for short, and it's a job readiness program funded by EPA headquarters. So the program targets areas and citizens that are affected by Superfund sites and tries to involve underemployed or unemployed community members. And during the job readiness program, attendees are provided with training in remediation and hazardous waste cleanup at no cost to them. The site-specific trainings vary slightly from program to program, depending on the needs of the nearby Superfund site or depending on what sort of skill sets the contractors in the area are requiring. And the program assists attendees with job placement into positions that have been set aside by contractors on the site. So it's important to note that these positions are never guaranteed, but we do our best to make sure that there are contractors who are interested in Super JTI graduates before we even begin. And we design the program based on the type of trained new hires that the surrounding contractors are seeking, and we discuss potential openings ahead of time whenever possible. So we talked a bit about the basics of Super JTI, that it's a job readiness program which provides remediation and employment training to community members in Superfund affected areas, but how does it actually work? So Viola and I are going to discuss each of these points on your slide in more detail, but here's the basic rundown. We start the program in an area by building relationships with local businesses, community organizations, and federal agencies. We need a lot of local support to make a training successful. And then we move on to candidate recruitment. And this is how we find our potential Super JTI participants, and our methods for outreach vary based on the location. So after finding the interested participants, we perform an extensive screening process and a tryouts day to select the trainees. And after tryouts, the selected Super JTI participants go through training, graduation, and then a follow-up period that involves potential job placement assistance. So you're probably thinking about a few sites you work with or a community you live in or know about and are wondering whether it would be eligible at this point. So we consider many different types of sites or communities for potential Super JTI projects. And these include CERCLA-regulated sites, so the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act. We consider RCRA-regulated sites, which is the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act. We consider federal facilities and tribes, tribal removal sites. We don't consider brownfield sites as future locations because brownfield has its own job training program. So how do we run the program? Well, this slide is primarily for the EPA staff participating today. So to start, an EPA staff member or someone associated with the area should contact the Super JTI program manager of their region, say 3 months to a year prior to remedial action start date of the nearby Superfund cleanup. And then EPA can begin the Super JTI program with assistance from a headquarters contractor, and EPA site staff can be involved as little or as much as desired. Headquarters, EPA headquarters funds this program. It's not paid for through regional budgets or potentially responsible parties. But if local groups or potentially responsible parties wish to show their support for this program, there are many opportunities to do so. We've had potentially responsible parties chip in to make the graduation ceremony special, or local groups can donate things during training. So in general, the headquarters contractor will request some assistance from site staff to make the program run smoothly. The contractor will request things like recommendations for community partners, information for contractors in the area, a site cleanup timeline so they can plan ahead, and finally, they may ask for participation in tryouts and graduation. So local contractors can assist us in the planning of the program and the implementation of the program, and most importantly, the job placement portion of the program. So if we're considering a Super JTI program, we'll discuss the jobs available in detail with site contractors a minimum of 3 months prior to the job start date. And if the jobs at the site fit the requirements and the timeline, EPA can bring Super JTI to a site. So it's really helpful to have these local contractors on board before you start, because they help determine what kind of training the graduates will receive, and then we can include those training courses that they request in our program. This saves the contractor money because they don't have to train new employees, and they can hire locally. Some contractors will require their employees to meet certain criteria in addition to training, and these criteria will integrate them into our screening and training process. So some examples are that you have to be able to lift 50 pounds, you have to be a U.S. citizen, you have to have a high school diploma or a GED, and you have to be able to pass a drug background check. So if we work with a contractor ahead of time, we can ensure that our screening process and training program will present the contractor with a perfect candidate for the position. So to start a Super JTI, we need about 8 to 10 jobs. If you have fewer than 10, you need to contact me or Viola, and we have to discuss if you think your site is a good fit. We've had projects that have been a lot larger than that, but 8 to 10 is about as low as a low number as we'll go. Okay. So developing partnerships is crucial not only with local contractors, but also with local businesses, universities, community organizations, and even federal agencies. And these localities know the area and the community the best, and they can serve as effective liaisons between EPA or EPA contractors in the community. Local organizations are already familiar with the community and its residents and can help make outreach and job placement smoother. So the more a community gets involved in a Super JTI program, the easier it'll be to spread the word about the graduates and increase job placement after training. So as I mentioned earlier, some groups may even wish to support the program by donating resources, such as a training venue, recruitment staff, or graduation ceremony assistance. A community partner will be chosen and paid for by the EPA headquarters contractor. This person or organization is our eyes and ears in the community. They help us with on-site tasks, they communicate with the participants, and they do the outreach. They provide a constant local presence throughout the entire program. So here are a few facts about the program since EPA began running it as a contract in 2008. Since that time, we've run 13 programs in 6 different EPA regions. We've graduated over 225 participants and successfully placed over 150. Okay. So now I'm going to walk through how the Super JTI project is developed and what happens throughout the training and job placement portions of the program. And the photos on your screen right now are from the training and graduation ceremony on the right during the Super JTI program on Navajo Nation in Gallup, New Mexico. And the pictures on the left are from the training. So the graduation is not on the left, the graduation on the right. Okay. So let me talk for a minute about candidate recruitment. Candidate recruitment is performed in conjunction with local partners and is tailored to individual communities. So the first step is outreach, and in the past we've used radio ads, newspaper ads, flyers, and we've even called local organizations to get the word out that Super JTI is coming to town. And then we hold informational meetings, and depending upon the population near the site, we could have several informational meetings for candidates in different locations. And during these meetings, we conduct preliminary skills assessments for all interested participants. So this phase is part of candidate self-selection. Candidates are required to stay for the skills assessment if they're interested, and then they have to come back on several different dates if they're to be considered for the program. Many will choose to leave during the different phases or just not return, and this is part of the process to find committed future employees. After the informational session, we ask the candidates who pass the skills assessment to return with relevant documentation a few days later. So the required documents will vary from program to program, but they can include items such as proof of citizenship, a high school diploma, GED, or in some cases maybe a driver's license. And if everything is in order, then they'll be asked to return again for the tryout. So those people that show up to tryouts will be considered for inclusion in the program, and those people that show up for tryouts have met with us a few times before the tryouts, so we know that they're really interested and really committed. So the tryouts are one morning of physical fitness, leadership exercises, and team building exercises. And candidates are evaluated on physical endurance, attitude, and commitment. And it's not that we want people to go through and score perfectly. We want to watch people going through these exercises to know that they get along with others, that they follow instructions, and that they're really interested in taking on new skills and getting a new job. So final candidates are selected by evaluators that include the Super JTI staff and federal and local partnership representatives who go around and watch performance during tryouts and then make their recommendations. Okay. And all the training sessions include basic pre-employment courses. And these pre-employment training include topics that are relevant to being a desirable employee. So we talk about being dependable, following rules, communication skills, et cetera. If you have a steady work history, a lot of these things you learn without, you just sort of learn them because of experience. But if you don't have a steady work history, you really need to talk about these things, like how to get along with your boss, why it's important to be on time, what happens if you have a beef with one of your coworkers. And our trainings almost always include the 40-hour hazardous waste operator training, but they can include other trainings specific to the site, such as asbestos training or radiation training. And the number of final candidates varies from program to program. So the number of trainees depends on the needs expressed by the contractor or by other restrictions, such as a specific training's limitation on class size. So the training program length varies depending on the courses included, but most of them are a few weeks long. So as an example, during our most recent Super JTI in Rialto, California, we had 17 graduates. They received pre-employment training, HAZWOPER, and CPR first aid. Okay. So at the close of each training program, we hold a graduation ceremony at a venue in the community that honors the achievements of the graduates. And graduation is a highlight of each program, and the event features remarks from the community and partners and graduates themselves, project staff, and EPA. And the families and friends of each graduate receive formal invitations for the event, and typical attendance is between 100 and 150 people. So typically, Super JTI would be initiated in communities where Superfund site cleanup is beginning or is in need of newly trained workers. And the number of candidates accepted for the program would be proportional to the number of jobs potentially available. But EPA can't hire candidates and can't guarantee a job to program graduates. Employment is ultimately up to the site contractors and the graduates themselves. So everyone has to go through the program and then interview for their job. So typically all jobs would be entry-level positions, but in the past we've recruited for additional positions that required experience. So Super JTI staff, often through community partners, we maintain contact with graduates as well as their supervisors and employers for the duration of the follow-up period. So we offer support and counseling services if needed through the community partner, and this period generally extends for 6 months after training completion. Graduates may continue to work at the site or they might find another position elsewhere. So our hope is that wherever they find work, they'll be able to use the training and give back to their community. We did learn that in Hurricane Sandy, and some of our graduates actually took the skills that they learned in Super JTI and they went to work on the Hurricane Sandy response. So we're very proud of that. All right. So just sort of to sum up, did you know, programs that we've had programs that train participants to work in water cleanup, and we've trained participants to work at a nuclear facility, and we've trained participants to work in lead cleanup, and we've trained participants to work in mining-related cleanups. So we've trained a lot of people to do a lot of different kinds of skills. I'm going to go very quickly over this Passaic River, which is just a mini case study, and maybe give you the highlights of the Super JTI. But this is a 17-mile stretch of river, it has, this cleanup has several different phases in it. But what we wanted, our goal for this cleanup was not only to accomplish cleaning up the Passaic River, but to give the benefit of the jobs, the newly created jobs, to the local community and foster partnerships to remain in place for the long term. So we were able to start partnerships early on in this process due to a very cooperative, potentially responsible party and a great community advisory group. So this was another example of partnership. And the community advisory group identified the local sponsor, which was the Ironbound Community Corporation. And Passaic River Super JTI and Ironbound Community Corporation staff worked together on outreach, logistics, and plans. So just to give you some idea of the numbers, we had 3 orientation sessions, and we had over 60 people attend. And 44 people completed a preliminary testing stage, and 38 of those were invited to attend tryouts. And over 30 people came to tryouts, and out of the 30, we selected 15 people. So, all right. So we had a great group of recruits. They worked really hard through the training. And then when we selected people, they completed 40-hour HAZWOPER, the OSHA 10-hour safety training, CPR, and first aid. And the graduation took place at the Portuguese Sports Club, and the regional administrator attended. And one of our participants said, when I was selected to participate and when I was able to graduate, these were some of my proudest moments. So, so basically, this Super JTI worked because this was it was a partnership between EPA, the Ironbound Community Corporation, Tierra Solutions, and their contractors, Stuyvesant Environmental and Arcadis, and the University of Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey. So we were able to provide unemployed Newark residents with new skills and work experience right in their neighborhood. So the 15 graduates were hired by the site contractors for 5 months duration of the work, including techs and filter press operators, and 3 of the 15 were offered full-time positions, and we, all told, we ultimately ended up getting more people hired than we had initially thought. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Viola, again, our National Program Manager for the western half of the country in Regions 6 through 10. Viola?
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, everyone. So first of all, I'll be talking about the Coeur d'Alene River Basin Cycle 2 Superfund Job Training Initiative Program and how we were able to provide 14 community members with career development opportunities in the Coeur d'Alene River Basin area. This Super JTI was conducted as a follow-up second program to the successful first program the year prior. First of all, I'd like to start by giving you a little bit of history about the area and also about the challenges that EPA and the region has had, not so much explaining that, but that there was some challenges that they had gone through and how Super JTI helped it get better. The Coeur d'Alene Basin Super JTI, also known as the Bunker Hill Mining and Metallurgical Complex Site, is located in northern Idaho's Coeur d'Alene River Basin. EPA placed the site on the National Priorities List in 1983. The Coeur d'Alene Basin is one of the largest areas of historic mining in the world. So since that time, in the 1880s, mining activities in the upper Coeur d'Alene Basin contributed to an estimated 100 million tons of mine waste to the river system. Many basin communities were built on mine waste. Until as late as 1968, tailings were deposited directly into the river. Over the time, these wastes have spread throughout more than 160 miles of Coeur d'Alene and Spokane rivers, lakes, and floodplains. Contaminants from mining operations in the Silver Valley spread harmful levels of heavy metals down the South Fork of the Coeur d'Alene River and into the floodplains. With this project, we hope to help the community heavily impacted by this contamination and also to give community members a way to contribute towards the cleanup and the revitalization of their area. So our program was developed using a partnership between EPA, North Idaho College, Northwind Construction Services, and Terra Graphics Environmental Engineering. The Coeur d'Alene Basin Super JTI staff and the project's community liaison, Renee Gilbert, our community partner, sent out flyers, hosted orientation sessions to publicize the job training program and attract interested candidates. Area community-based organizations and local newspapers, the Spokane Review and the Shoshone Review News Press, also advertised the program. During March and April 2013, 80 people came to the program's 5 orientation sessions. Following these sessions, 76 people completed a preliminary testing stage, and 45 of those participants were invited to attend program tryouts. 35 participants decided to continue with the program tryouts, and we selected 15 of those participants to receive training, and 14 completed training. Throughout the process, we had assistance from Renee Gilbert and the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, or IDEQ. As the process continued, we saw community members become program advocates. In addition, community members who had participated in the selection process for the first Coeur d'Alene Super JTI the previous year came back to assist us and help with the process. So the Coeur d'Alene Basin Super JTI Cycle 2 training took place over 2.5 weeks and included the trainings listed here on this slide. As Melissa mentioned earlier, for the pre-employment portion of the program, trainees completed courses in environmental justice, interpersonal communication, cultural competence, and effective work habits. This pre-employment training was again provided by our contractor, SKEO Solutions. Trainees also completed the 40-hour HAZWOPER, sampling, work zone flagging, CPR and first aid training, and field reporting courses. The North Idaho College provided most of the coursework, and the site contractor, CH2M Hill, provided the sampling course to the program at no cost. Graduation for the program's 14 trainees was held at the Memorial Hall in Kellogg, Idaho, in May of 2013. We are very proud of our graduates. Upon completion of the program, they possess the marketable skills needed to begin a successful career in environmental remediation and become valuable members of the workforce in these communities. So the results of the second cycle of the Coeur d'Alene Basin project are that it created goodwill and champions in the community for the program, as well as for EPA. In the Silver Valley, before Super JTI was run, very few local residents had secured jobs working on site. After Super JTI, the residents were able to work on site continued to be hired in subsequent construction seasons. The photo you see here is actually a graduate of the program, Jacob Sieverling, working on site. As a side note, after the success of the first Coeur d'Alene Basin project in 2012, EPA Region 10 was so impressed by the Super JTI community partner Renee Gilbert, her work on the project, that they hired her as a senior employee, a C employee for the region. She is still working in Region 10 as a C employee. So the Super JTI programs benefit a wide range of parties. For residents, benefit benefit because the program increases the understanding of the site cleanup effort. Additionally, the trainings provide them with marketable skills and enhance their employment potential. The program allows them to play an active role in the protection and restoration of their homes and neighborhoods. The local community benefits because the program provides job opportunities for qualified residents. It increases skills of the local labor pool, and it also increases local tax base. Contractors benefit because this program, they are provided with a new pool of trained workers. A group like this can ensure quick startup for construction and cleanup efforts at the site and can also lower costs associated with using remote workers, such as per diem, hotels, and transportation. The program builds goodwill in the community by boosting local economies and showing that the contractor is willing to work with area citizens. EPA benefits because the program removes communication barriers. The program makes community members more aware of cleanup efforts and environmental issues, builds trust through productive working relationships, and demonstrates EPA's commitment to meaningful community involvement. Even the potential responsible party, PRPs, will benefit through their effort of a Super JTI program. By participating in the program, a potentially responsible party can rebuild trust in the community. So there have been successful Super JTIs all over the country. Some recent projects you can see here include Coeur d'Alene Basin, Duwamish River Waterways in Seattle, Washington, Fort Ord, Monterey, California, Jacksonville, Florida, Jacobsville Neighborhood LED in Indiana, Navajo Nation, Onondaga Lake in Syracuse, New York, Passaic River, Rockets Fireworks and Flare Site in Rialto, California, which is the most recent project that we completed, and the Savannah River in South Carolina, and Tar Creek in Miami, Oklahoma. And prior to 2008, Super JTI was running under a grant program in other communities across the nation. So in 2013 and 2014 projects, we have three recent projects conducted in the last several years, as you see here. And Melissa and I, we really look forward to doing more Super JTIs all over the country in 2015 and 2016. And so please send us ideas if you have them. We are looking forward to working with you. And the next slide is, did you know that since 2008, this is really phenomenal, Super JTI has run programs on three Route 66 cities, Miami, Oklahoma, Gallup, New Mexico, and the latest in Rialto, California. Amazing. And so, again, if you have any ideas for new Super JTI projects, please get in contact with us. We'll have additional resources available after the presentation ends, and please check back afterwards for downloads or check at the website below or on your screen. And if anyone has any questions now, we'd like to take them or talk about them. And I'm done with my part of the presentation. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Viola. This is just a gentle reminder for the participants who are joining us. If you do have a question or comment, you can type them up electronically using the Q&A window that appears in the lower right corner of your screen. We're going to take a break here and start to read through some of the questions and comments as they are coming in on the line. And then if we have time remaining, which I think we will, we'll invite those of you who might be on the phones. If you feel more comfortable asking your question out loud, we'll let you come off of mute and certainly speak freely on the phone lines with our presenters. So I'm going to turn to some of the questions that we're starting to receive online. And I think you guys have sort of hit home on this concept about, you know, how do I bring Superfund JTI to my city? So can, if somebody on the line has a burning interest in this, but they're a sole person, where do they start? Do they go straight to you, or how can they get the process rolling?
Well, I would say, this is Melissa, I would say that you can do it in a number of ways, and you can certainly call me. I'm looking at regions, EPA regions 1 through 5, or call Viola, who's managing regions 6 through 10. we're happy to talk to you about how it would work and what the next steps would be, and we're very involved in these programs, and even if you called and said, I'm not sure that anyone in my region thinks this is a good idea, we'd be very happy to talk to you and talk to them. We talk with potentially responsible parties. We talk to contractors. We're there to help you move this program forward. So I would say the very first thing to do would be to give one of us a call. And certainly, if other people in your region or other people that you know have done this project, we'll know about that, and we can put you in touch with them.
Okay. All right, excellent. I'm going to move on to the next question, and some of these questions get into more of the specifics of the actual Superfund JTI itself. So, for example, can other groups help pay for the training? What if you have more potential trainees than your headquarters funding will cover? Could somebody partner with you to pay for the other people?
Yeah, Viola, let me try this, and then maybe you want to add something. It isn't so much a question of budget. It's a question of, and the reason we think our program is distinguished from other programs, it's a question of, are there jobs waiting for people? Because we had people tell us when we first started out, don't do another jobs program. There's 50 million jobs programs out there. Do a jobs program where people get a job. And then they told us that, well, we know of examples where people who've been through three different programs, but they've never gotten a job. So we actually base our program, and it's a unique model, we base our program based on the number of jobs that will be available when we're finished. So, for example, if someone said, I can take 20 people, I have 20 jobs, we're not going to have a class of 100 people. We're going to have a class of maybe 20 plus a few, because people, a few people might drop out during training. Viola, do you want to add something to that?
I think you really answered that question, Melissa, and I'd like to just add that, you know, we hear so many times over and over again from Superfund communities, you know, that we want to work in our community. You know, it helps if we work here. We are the ones burdened with the contamination, and we'd like to clean it up. And that's basically the bottom line. So that's it for me.
Okay. So I think you guys hit home on this, but this seems to be a burning question. Are your graduates guaranteed jobs at the end? But the add-on is, if they are guaranteed jobs, for how long?
Okay. They're not guaranteed jobs at the end. And we try to, we actually, I think, and Tiffany, feel free to enter here, I think we spend time discussing with them, and we even make them sign something that says, I realize I'm not guaranteed a job in this program. What we try to do, however, is we try to run the program based on the idea that there will be a certain number of jobs when it's over. But you have to get accepted into training, you have to get through training, and then you have to go and interview for your job. Now, we've always hoped that these jobs would be long-term and that we'd give people skills that they could use and they could have different kinds of jobs. And what we found is that before the economy tanked, people had jobs that lasted a bit longer than they do now. So each project is different, but the last research that I heard is that after 6 months, 80% of our graduates were still employed.
Okay, excellent. So there's a few questions in here about specific sites. So it sounds like they need to come with a project or site in mind if they're proposing Superfund JTI should take place in their community. So we have a question here. Can the same site receive Superfund JTI support at different phases at the cleanup? Because sometimes these sites have been around for decades.
Right. That's a really good question, and it's actually very timely. Historically, we've always worked in what we call the construction of the remedial action phase of the cleanup. So Superfund cleanups take a long time. But when you get into the cleanup phase, you're actually, you've done your studies, you've done your remedial investigation, you've done your feasibility study, you've written your record of decision, you know basically what the cleanup plan is. And at that point, that's when we've traditionally said, let's have a super JTI, because we need people to go out there and implement this remedy that we've spent all this time and money creating. However, most recently, someone has said to us, Well, we have a very large project with a remedial investigation. Now, remedial investigation comes a lot earlier in the process, and what they've suggested is at this particular site, we could run a super JTI at this early stage, and then, you know, certainly later on, but why don't we try it at this early stage? So we're trying to work that out to say, could we do super JTI? How do we work it out at the RA stage instead of in the construction, the remedy construction phase? And also, I don't know if the person asked this exactly, but we have gone to sites where we've done more than one round. Viola talked about one, and at the Savannah River site, where we can do multiple rounds of a super JTI. So we do the first round, and it works out. We do the second round. So a site is not limited to how many times it can happen. We're limited. We find we're limited more by having the jobs at the end of it, because, as I say, if there are no jobs at the end of it, then we're really not distinguished from other jobs programs. And what we really want is we really want people to go through this program, complete the training, and have a high likelihood of success and a job that they can essentially not walk into, but a job they can compete and be qualified for that we know is someone has essentially set aside saying, I really need this group of people, and I'm going to look to you to get these candidates that I need.
Okay. We're going to go back to a question about the types of sites that are eligible. And I think you had a slide that listed all of the different types of sites. I'm going to try to bring us back to it.
Okay.
You were talking about Superfund fund lead sites.
Yeah, I think I've got it here, slide number 5.
Okay. And this participant asked a question about sites that used to be on the NPL. So if you have sites that are no longer on the NPL and it's transitioned to a state who's now taking over the cleanup, because it's only on the NPL for a certain period of time once it reaches 10 years.
Well, I guess the question is, and Viola, you might want to add to this, the question is there some Superfund connection, essentially, or is there some federal cleanup program connection to the site? So does Superfund still do oversight? I think that would be the question. If there's absolutely no Superfund connection or no connection to these other federal programs, I don't think we can do it. But if you can make a connection, and you usually can if we've given the program to the state, and the state is cleaning up, we have oversight costs, then that would be eligible.
Yeah, I have an example. Yes, at the Stringfellow site here in California, the state is cleaning up the site now, but we do have some oversight responsibilities, and so that definitely would be eligible for a super JTI if there were some construction or movement of, you know, cleanup going on.
Okay. All right. So we had a question come in about what graduates actually receive. So you talked a lot about some of the training that you can get, like mm-hmm. HAZWOPR 40-hour OSHA training, and when people complete that type of training, they receive a 40-hour certificate that they mm-hmm. can take with them and qualify them for other work. Do they receive some sort of certificate at the end of the whole Superfund JTI, or is it simply a collection of these other professional certifications?
Well, they get everything that we've trained them for. So if not all of them, take a 40-hour HAZWOPR course, and they get that certificate. And they take CPR, and they take first aid training. And then those are sort of courses common to all, core courses, if you will. But then based on the cleanup at the site, a site contractor may say, look, I really need people to do X, Y, Z. And if they go through training, they get some kind of certificate. So what we found really interesting is that once you have your 40-hour HAZWOPR, you're able to go and work at other sites, not necessarily the one that we trained you for. So as I think I said before, that some of our graduates actually who had been trained for Super JTI ended up being part of the Hurricane Sandy response because they were trained, they had current HAZWOPR experience, they had construction safety, they had what they needed to go get it. They were much more marketable than when they started. So, Viola, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, you know, besides the certificate they get, like as Melissa mentioned, at graduation time, everybody wants to be part of the program, it seems like. And I've had assembly people and the senator's office and local government offices come and bring a certificate to recognize the graduates, you know, and it's a really exciting time. And so, you know, in addition to the technical certificates that the graduates would get, they often get recognition from local governments and, you know, state officials. So it's really an exciting time.
Right, and I think Viola raises a really good point, because these people that are going through our training, they have not been steadily employed. And so they've gone through our training, and they have a set of skills, and they have a job that they know that, you know, they're going to go to, and they're going to be able to do it, and we're going to try to support them for a few months while things are getting going. And so it's a very it really means a lot in someone's life, because they haven't had this before. They haven't had a steady history of employment, and so to kind of get these skills and start fresh is really extraordinary. And people have made very, very significant changes based on being in this program.
All right. I do have a question, and I think I know the answer, but let's just throw it out here. Do you have a planned target of Superfund JTIs that you'll do in the fiscal year that's coming up?
It's very loosey-goosey. Viola, you might disagree with this. My sense is that it's very hard to get a Super JTI started. I don't want to be discouraging. It's just that we have people that we've talked to for a year, and then we've talked to them for another year, and it's really a question of timing, because the cleanup work has to be ready. You have to hire the cleanup contractor. We have to talk to the cleanup contractor to see if they'll be interested in hiring the people. It's complicated, so we don't do a lot of these projects. We're actually a very, very small program. And I think by all in 2014, I don't remember how many we did, but we don't. It's not like we run these courses one after another after another. And the trick is that we want to have the financing. We want to have the headquarters dollars to do the program, and then we want to have the sites be ready so that we're able to do the program at the site. And to kind of line all those things up is tricky. I mean, it's not easy. So, Viola, I don't know if you want to add to that.
Yeah, I think you really explained that well. And in addition, you know, the time before we actually kick off a Super JTI program is called the scoping part of the program. And the scoping could take, you know, I mean, of course, if there are jobs available, if the Superfund construction is ready to go in the next couple of months, we can gear up and get going right away. But typically, the scoping part could take from 3 to 6 months to even a year in terms of talking with the right people, you know, explaining the projects to our stakeholders. You know, it could be a PRP, our site contractors, our regional folks. So, you know, everything has to be in its place, lined up. All the stars have to be lined up. And then, you know, once it's a go, and there's no stopping for the program. So we make sure pretty much we do a lot of preparation ahead of time. And so we may do maybe 2 per year if everything works out that way, I think. Melissa?
Yeah.
Okay. We had another comment come in, and I'm not sure if everybody out there in the world may be aware, but this one participant mentioned about the changes that are being proposed to how Superfund does its remedial contracts and how we manage our sites. Will that change impact Superfund JTI at all?
It actually already has a little bit, because we thought we were going to start a project, and then there was some, I don't know if you want to call it uncertainty, there was whether or not contract money would be available when we needed it. So I think things might be a little uncertain for the next few months. But I wouldn't be discouraged by that. What I would do is I would just sort of say, this is what I, you know, I'm interested in this project, and then we just move forward from there. Because there's no sort of straight line, or at least there hasn't been a very straight line about on X date you will receive funding. But we're used to that. We're used to working with a lot of uncertainty. And I actually did have one project that was sort of set aside because the funding didn't come through because it was sort of caught in this new thing. But we're not telling people to slow down or anything. These projects tend to take longer. The scoping phase takes longer than anybody thinks. And so it just gives us a little more time to sort of put it all together.
Okay. So let's turn to the phone lines. I know we have a few people on the phones, but you guys may have typed up your questions already. If you happen to be a caller on a telephone line and would prefer to share your question or comment out loud, you're welcome to take yourself off of mute by hitting #6 on your telephone line. And then we'd ask that you identify your location, organization, and feel free to share your question or comment. All right, I don't hear any clicks there. We'll wait to see if we just have any other outstanding questions or comments that come in electronically. While I'm waiting for some additional comments or questions, I want to turn back to Viola. And Viola, are there any closing thoughts you want to leave the audience with while we wait for any outstanding questions to come in?
Sure. You know, a lot of times I get asked by different people when we introduce the Super JTI program, well, you know, these jobs are really require scientific background or, you know, an engineering background. And my answer is, well, they're not working for EPA. Like, we're not hiring EPA staff or CH2M Hill staff. We are hiring, or we want to work with people out there that can move dirt. You know, can you think of the work that's going to be done at a site once construction begins? We need people to dig. We need flaggers. We may need security guards. We may need truck drivers. We're talking about basic entry-level positions. So just want everyone to keep that in mind. And don't think, oh, well, these jobs require engineering degree or a scientific degree. No, we're talking about people that would be working at a construction-type site. So that's my closing thought.
Okay. I don't see any other questions or comments. So, Melissa, any final thoughts you want to leave your audience with?
Yeah, I would just say that if you have an opportunity to become involved with a Super JTI project, I think you'll love it. And this is what people tell us, and everyone tells us this, the participants in the program, the EPA's remedial project managers, the contractors, people seem to get drawn in. They really like it because it really is a win-win all the way around, that people get so much out of it. It benefits communities, we've talked about, because they sort of understand what's going on, which in turn supports EPA. And contractors don't have to pay everybody per diem because they're hiring people in from, you know, 3 or 4 states away. You're taking people in a community and you're training them to clean up a site that they've lived with probably for many, many years. And that we shouldn't underestimate how powerful that is. We also, we have people who, as I said, have been underemployed, and this really is an opportunity for them to kind of turn their lives around and at the same time doing great work with environmental cleanup. So Viola and I both want to encourage you to think about it and, you know, give us a call. If you don't really understand how the whole thing would work out, we'll be happy to talk it out with you. And our parting words maybe would be that nothing happens quickly in this program, but when it does, it's really terrific. So, think about it. Think about it and don't hesitate to give us a call.
Well, we did have a question that snuck in there, and sure. This is a specific one about eligibility. One participant commented that they have an IA cleanup outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but that cleanup is headed by the Army Corps of Engineers. Is that eligible for Superfund JTI?
Yes, it is. And in fact, there's some Superfund or connection or some federal program connection like Superfund. Mm-hmm. Yes, and we would very much like to work with the Army Corps of Engineers. And remember, EPA pays for this. This is not coming out of anybody's site budget or anything like that.
So I might instruct that participant to follow
Give
up.
Give us a call.
I believe you would fall under Melissa's
That's
jurisdiction
right.
in Pennsylvania.
1-5.
And
That's
you'll
right.
see her contact info right there on that last slide. So I encourage you to reach out and check with Melissa after today's webinar.
Thank you.
Well, if there aren't any other today's webinar and get our participants on their way. So I do want to echo thanks to the nearly 24 people who joined us from across the country for today's live webinar, as well as our instructors who were part of today's MARPM Present seminar on the Superfund Job Training Initiative, or Superfund JTI. If you're interested in learning more about these types of free webinars, you can certainly learn about us on the Cleanup Information Network at cluin.org. Or you can connect with us on popular social and professional networking sites like Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. If you would like to view a copy of the presentation materials, as I noted, we have them available off the seminar homepage as well as on the links page. You'll find links to some other resources, including the Superfund JTI website as well. If you'd like to follow up with either of the presenters today, you'll find their contact information again at the end of the PowerPoint slides. We also have it permanently posted on the seminar homepage. So if you do have a possible site or project, please touch base with either Melissa or Viola after today's session. And I would ask if you could take just a moment and fill out our short online feedback form to let us know what you thought about today's live broadcast. I do read each and every one of those forms for every one of our webinars, and they really do help us to continue to offer these free online training opportunities. If you're looking for a certificate for participating, there is a box you can check on that feedback form. While we won't issue a certificate per se, we will send you a confirmation email that at least verifies when you submitted feedback after the live delivery. If you happen to be replaying the recorded version of today's webinar, you can still submit feedback and request one of those confirmation emails and save that for your record as part of your training documentation. As I noted, today's webinar is being recorded, and we will have an archive available in approximately 1 to 2 weeks. Once that archive is posted, you'll receive an email, and you can feel free to forward that on to anyone who you think will find it to be a valuable expenditure of their time. And with that, let me echo the thanks for everybody involved today, from the organizers to the presenters to our live participants. And I'll let everybody know this is the formal conclusion for today's live broadcast.